I believe that belief is the most important ingredient in our success. When we see it clearly and believe it dearly, we declare a defining moment, an epiphany, if you will. We declare, I can do this. I am doing this. Detailed success stories I know are the best way to build this belief. So I'm on a mission to interview every diamond and above in Young Living worldwide. I'm learning from them the granular details of what they thought then and what they think now. I gathered all their vital statistics on how many people they enrolled year one to the ER rate. Let's dive in and listen. Hey everybody, Richard Blissbrook here with yet another Road to Diamond interview. Today from Carlsbad, California, Royal Crown Diamond, Carol Yeh Garner. Carol, welcome to the interview.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Did I pronounce that right?
You did. Yay!
First try.
Yeah, well done.
Well, I can't wait to hear how you made Royal Crown Diamond in 27 months or something like crazy like that. And So I'm sure everybody else wants to hear that story too. But before we get into the juicy details of how you did that, tell us, who are you and where do you come from and what were you doing before you discovered Young Living?
Yeah. So I was born in New York and then my parents moved out to California and I grew up in the Bay Area, went to school in San Diego and have been in the San Diego area since 1987. My road to getting to Young Living was kind of weird. I had hypnobirths with both of my babies. So that's using self-hypnosis to have a natural unmedicated birth.
Wow.
Before I got pregnant, I had no intentions of ever having a natural birth, but I just was freaked out about the birth process and all the pain that goes with it, and found hypnobirthing, had success with that, and loved it so much that I started teaching it. I have a master's in social work, and my goal when I was going to school was open up a private practice at one point, you know, be your own boss, make your own hours. That was my dream. And after I had my daughter and it was time to go back to work, the idea of opening up a private practice and listening to a bunch of depressed, anxious relationship problem people, like I could barely hold a sentence together having two kids under the age of three. So that's why I started teaching hypnobirthing, because it was predictable. It was a positive, empowering class. It was the same content over and over. And that led me to start hearing about Young Living oils, learning about more holistic kind of methods in life, chiropractic, acupuncture, all those kinds of things. So I started using store-bought oils.
Shocked. Oh my gosh.
Horrors, yeah. I bought store-bought oils at first because I was like, yeah, I heard about that thieves, but like, I don't want to buy it from an MLM. I've been to all the MLM parties and did the obligatory like $40 of stuff to support my friend that ends up, you know, just sitting in a cabinet. And I've been in MLMs where you have to buy stuff every month just to be a member and end up with a closet full of stuff that wasn't being used. So I thought I was being smart by going to the health food store and making my own thieves and not being involved in an MLM. However, it wasn't really working in terms of helping our immune system stay strong. So in October 2013, I figured I can afford a $44 bottle of one oil. That's a lot of money for me, but I can afford it. And found a friend that posted something on Facebook and contacted her, and she convinced me to get the kit. But I was like, there's no like monthly thing, right? And she's like, nope, you don't have to do a monthly thing. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to get the kit. And I figured I'm using the thieves and the diffuser, and the rest of the oils are going on a shelf in the box. Like, I figured I'd never use them. And then she put me in a Facebook group that was just product education. And I am a researcher and I love learning. So I was staying up to like 1 a.m. reading all of these posts of things that people were using oils for. And so I started using oils. And she even asked me, my enroller asked me, like, do you think you'd ever want to do the business? Because she knew my hypnobirthing business was thriving. And she knew I had a big network. And I was like, nope, absolutely not. Never, never want to do that. And, but I had a really great success story with lemon, lavender, and peppermint for allergies. And she said, well, you got to post that. And I was like, well, yeah, I got to post that because I'm that kind of person that if I find a great product or a service or restaurant, I got to share it with the world. So I shared it on social media. And before you knew it, all these people that had taken my classes or all my more natural holistic friends were like, what is it? I need it. I got to get it. And then they were wanting to buy the kit. And so I ended up doing the business without really wanting to do the business. So that's how I got into Young Living. And as I started growing my business, I saw the potential and saw how it would help us get out of debt. So even though I had a thriving hypnotherapy practice, and by that time, hypnobirthing and hypnotherapy practice, it still was based on if I had clients, right? Right. And so if I didn't have clients, or one of my kids was sick and I had to cancel, or we went on vacation, I wasn't getting paid.
Right.
And my husband was a school teacher. So our income did not match the level of lifestyle we wanted to live, or we were living in Carlsbad, California. So we had a lot of debt, and I figured, well, I'll do this Young Living thing. Maybe I'll make like $200 or $300 in like a year or two, like every month. And that'll help us whittle away at our credit card debt. And within the second month, my check was, you know, bigger than that. And by the third month, I was silver. Yeah. And I had earned a trip to the Drive to Win Hawaii trip, which I was like, how did I do that? I just started. So it was kind of a whirlwind. But once I saw those things and saw the momentum, I figured I'm putting it all on the table. I'm going for it, and worked really hard and did it.
So that's a nexus point I want to kind of drill in on. So you were obviously an influencer, and you had a lot of following on social media. And I think it probably important to realize that it wasn't just casual following. It wasn't people watching you take pictures of your food or your dog, right, or it was like a specific following because of your expertise, which is really, really powerful when somebody like that decides to promote a product. So that is kind of responsible for your initial surge of volume. What I'm interested in, Carol, is how you made the mindset transition from a never MLMer to I'm going to put all my eggs in the basket and go for this. So you gave some clues to it that you saw this momentum. But could you speak more to that? Like, what did you discover about the income opportunity? Because you're a researcher, so I don't imagine that you let the financial opportunity just sort of overwhelm you casually. My guess is you saw some clues and you went and studied some stuff. Is that true?
Sort of. I'm also very trust your gut kind of person. And if I feel like it's the right thing, I will just go for it without doing a lot of research.
Yep.
But the person who enrolled me, and the person who enrolled her, and the person above her, they were all doing really, really well.
Who are those people?
So Melissa Kohler is my enroller. Lindsay Moreno is above her. And Monique McLean is above her. So I had like the trifecta of amazingness.
Right.
So early in, when I was just starting to do the business, Lindsay Moreno had a blog post about her income. And she started in February 2013. And by August, she was making a couple of thousand a month. And so when I read that, I was like, well, but she's like a photography, like blogger. She's got like thousands of followers. Like I had followers, like hundreds of followers, you know, like, but they knew that if I was endorsing something, they knew that I did enough research that they trusted what I said. So I figured if she's making $5,000 a month in a couple months, I'll probably make, you know, a couple hundred. But then she got to diamond really fast. Monique got to diamond really fast. Melissa got to diamond really fast. And I was like, well, if they can do it, why can't I? And because Melissa also, she had a following from her photography business, but she didn't, she wasn't like a blogger like Lindsay. But, and then I met them all and I realized like they're real people. They're just like me. And mm-hmm. they didn't have these like special skill sets or anything. They just knew how to share. And once I flipped the switch of like, I'm selling something to I'm sharing something and I'm helping people, that made it so much easier to do this business because I never wanted to sell. And I technically really feel like I don't sell. I share and people ask me more questions and I share and educate and empower people. And then they ask me more questions. And then eventually they ask me, how do I get it? Mm-hmm. So I think that that was a huge mindset shift because all my experience with other MLMs was people trying to sell me the right product for the business.
Yeah, it's a that's a very minor distinction. It's a mindset distinction because it's all perhaps selling, but how do you go about doing it philosophically? Mm-hmm. So I think most people describe selling as, you know, I know something about something and it might be of value to you. And somehow, some way, I'm going to create a conversation where you see what I see.
Yeah.
And so making that mindset shift from using people. I think, you know, that's the part of selling that people don't like is that I'm trying to get people to give me money for something that I want them to have, but they don't necessarily want to have.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, one of the things that makes Young Living such an organically authentic, powerful financial opportunity is I don't know anybody in Young Living that's selling that way. Everybody is just authentically telling their stories and educating and answering questions and enrolling people.
Yeah.
Which you enrolled over 100 people your first year and you got to diamond in your first year. Is there anything you did specifically, Carol, strategically that someone else who's listening could learn from that they could duplicate even half of that? Enrolling 50 people, strategies that you used?
I think I just showed people that this was a lifestyle, that it wasn't just here are these products to sell you, that like I was actually living a lifestyle that included Young Living. And so by showing them that it's not just oils, but it's all these other products by posting on a regular basis, but not overwhelming people with like all Young Living all the time. It was, you know, one post about Young Living and a couple other posts about life or whatever else I'm interested in. And then another post about Young Living. So I think that that was super helpful because it made it less salesy for me, but it also made it less salesy for my audience. And then I would also say the thing that I would not do over again was assume that everyone learns the same way that I do and processes information the same way I do. So I'm a red in terms of color personality. And I just assumed that if, you know, if I put you in my business group, you're going to figure it out because you're going to be self-motivated and, you know, just do whatever you need to do independently. And so I know I lost a lot of business people that said they wanted to do the business that first year, because all I was doing was throwing them into a business group and being like, here you go, figure it out.
Right.
So even though I did reach Diamond in a really short amount of time, there were many mistakes along the way that I wish I would have known to do things differently.
Okay. So next question really speaks to Royal Crown Diamond. What did you do, Carol, to inspire people to become builders? Because you don't get to Royal Crown Diamond unless you find at least six really extraordinary, ambitious leaders. And I'm sure you have 10 or 20 times that many. So did you learn anything along the way about positioning the opportunity, speaking to the opportunity, sharing the opportunity, coaching people, leading people, that moved people from accidental sharers to business leaders?
Yeah, I think that was my own lesson to learn from Diamond to Crown to Royal, was I got to Diamond assuming everybody was red. I knew about colors. I didn't learn about colors until I was a Royal Crown Diamond. And when I got to Royal, I hit it in February when they had this like amazing PSK sale, and then I lost it for 5 months. And I was like, oh crap. And that was the time that I had to do some personal development and leadership development of myself, because I just had assumed that like, oh, okay, I've got these gold platinum leaders, like they're figuring it out, but I was not doing what I needed to do to nurture them and to build the relationships with them along the way. After once I hit Diamond, I really realized like that wasn't happening. And when I lost Royal, that was also another like slap in the face of like, I need to stop assuming people are just self-motivated. So in order to help build them, I had to learn leadership skills myself so that I knew how to lead, because I definitely fell into like an admin manager role. Once I got to the higher ranks, I just figured like, oh, I'll just do all these things to like manage, but that's not helping your team. You're just like, that's not going to help your team grow, right? You're going to keep things status quo and you're probably going to be in a plateau. So in order to grow, I had to do a lot of business development, leadership development for myself, and also learn how to build my relationships, because I've always lived my life as a red, and the majority of Young Living people are yellow and they love that relationship part. So I had to really step out of my comfort zone and learn how to build relationships with people all from all different parts of the world. And all so, different kinds of people, you know.
If you were to write your Carol's leader book on leadership, Carol's three steps to leadership, what would you tell an up and coming executive or silver or gold to start paying attention to incorporate in their leadership development? What are your top three things that you learned? One of them obviously is to not treat everyone the same. What's three more, two or three more key leadership points?
I think personal development is a huge piece that I think most people don't even consider as part of growing a business or being a leader. I think sometimes it gets easy to think like, oh, I'm a leader just because I got to this rank. Well, maybe, but like, did you really lead? Did you inspire people? What are you teaching people? What are you doing to empower people? And we're not taught that, you know, in school. I mean, right. I have a social work master's degree, so I know how to empower people, but I didn't know how to transfer that into a network marketing business. So I would say like a huge piece of any kind of growth that you're going to want to have in your business, you have to do personal development. So what does that mean? Right. It means like you go to workshops and seminars and get mentoring from other people to learn what your blockages are so that you can get rid of them and learn how to inspire and help your team, lift your team up.
Because what do you mean by blockages?
Blockages meaning like fears. So my fear or blockage as a red is like, I just would rather text. Like it takes a lot of time to talk to people. And I can just get to the point with a text, but that doesn't transfer well to the majority of people because they want to see you and they want to talk to you and they want to know how your day was. And they want you to ask them how their day was and build that relationship versus just, you know, checking in, like, how's business going? What are you doing? What's your IPA? It's like, no, like you have to have that whole conversation. And so letting my walls down to let people in to know me so that I can also know them was
so what, a huge what's block. The fear? What's the fear you discovered you had that
fear
put
vulnerable.
The walls up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fear of being vulnerable, of being authentic, that people wouldn't like me, that people would reject me if they knew the real me, right? Like the authentic Carol. And what I found was that people embrace me more and respect me more now that I am being vulnerable and not trying to fit into this idealized version of what I thought was a leader.
So you are you authentically a red or you are perhaps a yellow?
I'm authentically a red that is learning how to be more yellow. Who's regularly practicing being more yellow.
Worthy of thought. Awesome.
Yeah.
So let's speak, Carol, to, you know, most of the people that listen to this interview are not Royal Crown Diamonds or even Diamonds. Most people are stars, senior stars, executives. The reality is most are struggling. You know, they love the products and they love the company and they use the products really well. And they probably can talk about the products pretty well. But when it comes to inspiring people to join them and build even a small business, that's the place where most people struggle. They're pretty good at sharing, but just crossing that bridge to providing enough conviction and vision and leadership that people will go beyond sharing on their team, like, hey, let's build something big enough to get to executive. Because most of these people don't have the influence that you had or sure. Lindsay had. They're not going to share, you know, for a month and do $5,000 a month in business.
Right.
What do you say to those people to encourage them and inspire them and give them some direction? Like if I was a senior star and I was probably whining a little bit, right? I was probably like, Carol, how do I do this?
Yeah,
like
business. Yeah.
How do I get some people? Everybody I talk to says this and nobody right. shows up and the people that get in don't want to build. Carol, what do I do? What would you tell me, Carol, in 2 minutes? 2 minutes to change my business.
The first thing I would ask you is when you're sharing, what's your internal feeling? When you're sharing about the opportunity or the product, is there an internal ugh? Because if there's an internal disconnect, those mirror neurons, I'm all about like brain stuff. I just learned mirror neurons last year. But I think if there's that internal like, oh gosh, I don't want to say that, but I'm going to say it anyway. That person that you're trying to share with or sell to is going to feel that disconnect, that internal disconnect that you're having. And they're not even probably going to be aware of it, but they're going to notice and their subconscious, their mirror neurons are going to feel it and be like, nope, that person's not like 100% in. Right. I'm not going to buy it.
Not
so I would want to know like, where in the process of sharing are you having a block? Because probably somewhere in you sharing or you trying to close the deal and ask, like, so which kit do you want to get? You know, if you're having that internal yuck feeling, that's something that you need to work on to get rid of in order for you to grow your business. Because if you continue, you can share all you want. You could have 1,000 people in a space that are like, I'm ready to go. But if you are feeling conflicted internally about the ask, about the close, about the sell, about the whatever, then they're going to be like, I'm out. I'll go over here and get it from somebody else. So that would be my main thing that I would want to coach you on and practice with you on, like, okay, so where in the process, what are you saying? How does that feel for you? Because I want to make sure that when you're sharing, you can say it like it just rolls off your tongue, 100% confident. Because when people feel that you're 100% confident about sharing whatever it is, whatever aspect of Young Living it is, then they're going to want to be a part of it.
Yeah, congruency. People buy.
Yes.
They pay way more attention to who you're being mm-hmm. than what you're saying.
Yeah.
And if those two don't match up, I think you spoke to it early on, Carol, when you said a big shift you had was when you stopped thinking about telling people about the products as trying to sell them, and you shifted to, hey, I'm just sharing and mm-hmm. I'm educating. And that's different than how I had languaged or visualized selling. That just that coaching conversation that you had with yourself or somebody had with you, that shifts the energy and it totally. shifts it to be congruent.
Right.
And that's what you just shared with that struggling senior star. That's magical stuff. And so senior stars, executives, if that speaks to you, if you can answer the question, hey, great question too, Carol, what does it feel like? If it feels like doubt, if it feels like a little bit incongruent, if it feels like, yeah, but mm-hmm. go to work on that issue, that story, that belief, get some coaching, talk to your upline. Say, how can I see this different? And when you see it different, then you can be it different. And then stuff happens. Because the truth is, folks, you're not any different than me or Carol or, you know, 40 other Royal Crown Diamonds out there. The people that succeed just figure out a way to see it in a way that they can do it. And that's probably the biggest challenge any of us have. And anybody that's on your team, Carol, I can tell you're a very effective coach. So they're very fortunate to be mentored by you. So next question, tell me about, now that you're a Royal Crown Diamond, Carol, what do you see? What do you appreciate the most about Young Living in 2020? What do you see for your up-and-coming leaders in the next 4 or 5 years? Where are you coaching people to go and do and be? What's the new landscape? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it does change, right? Young Living is not the same as it was when Lindsay Marino got started. It's not the same as it was when other people went to Royal Crown Diamond, you know, 7, 8, 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. There's a season. What do you see as the current season and how do we take advantage of it?
I think the season right now is building community. When I started, everything was on social media. It was super easy to just PM people, DM people, and get stuff done. And now I feel like there's a need for a sense of belonging. And so what I've done with some of my leaders, that higher ranked leaders that kind of felt like, you know, we started when you did and we're feeling kind of stagnant, I pushed them to join up together and be cross-line buddies. And what they've done is truly amazing, because They banded together. They do Zoom calls twice a month. The ones that are local here, they've created a group, they call it The Shift, and they're doing hangouts at different people's houses once a month just to get together. And it's super casual. Whereas before it was like, come to this class. But now it's like, you can have all these classes and there's not that many people showing up, right? And then that's stressful. But a get together that's casual and like, bring a product that you have a question about, or bring a product that you're loving right now and share about it. And that's it. Like, just hang out, chitter chatter a little bit, some apps and light, whatever food that everybody potlucks and whatever. And then we sit and we chat and we learn stuff. Now, I've been doing the business for 6 years. And every time I've gone to one of these hangouts, I'm learning a ton of stuff in terms of how to use products that I never knew. And so it's a great opportunity. And the people that I've brought, my own prospects, they're like, this is awesome, because it seems so overwhelming. There's so much information. There's all, you know, there's oils everywhere. But like, what are you doing? If you're growing your business, what are you doing to create community? And what are you doing to make sure that your potential customers are seeing that you are the one they want to buy from, because you're giving them an extra service that they can't get somewhere else? And I love that my group of leaders just figured that out and just saw a need and created what needed to fill that gap. And I think that that's the gap. That's where we can take 2020. I think that's going to really, really help 2020 grow.
Yeah, I think that's really profound insight. I mean, the landscape has changed even in the last 7 years. 7 years ago, you could probably go ask 100 people, hey, have you ever heard of essential oils? And most of them would say, no, what is that? Mm-hmm. Today, I mean, a lot of them are going to go, yep, I know about those and I know where to get them. And so our story of Seed to Seal is even more important. The farms are even more important. Getting people to a farm, more important. And as you talked about, Carol, like creating community and value, not just for the leaders, but for the members and the customers, just like a place that adds value beyond the oil, because from the consumer's perspective, they can get oils anywhere.
Right. At the gas station.
Yeah, right. You can right now. Now you can. So, you know, be careful what you wish for. Gary and Mary wished for oils in every home.
Right? They didn't clarify Young Living.
But, you know, the message got away from them, right?
Right.
So now we have work to do.
Right.
So, which brings me to my last question, Carol. When it comes to network marketing, the business model, the mathematics of it, the economy of it, what is your insight about that? And what do you teach people about that to move them through their incongruency about, yes, I love the oils, yes, I love the products, I love Young Living, but not really all that keen. I wish it wasn't network marketing.
Yeah.
What do you have to say about that?
I think most people, and I admit it, I had a complete misconception of what network marketing was. I had actually been in a couple of network marketing companies before Young Living, just, you know, as a member, and one as a business, and I hated it. I hated going to someone's house with all these products and being like, here's this and here. Like, it just wasn't me. And so I thought that's what network marketing was like selling some like product that you kind of have some kind of like interest in, but you don't love it. And so when I found Young Living and I could feel comfortable sharing about the product and the business opportunity, I learned that network marketing is really an amazing opportunity that it gets overlooked because so many people have that misconception of what a network marketing company is. It's just cheesy people selling products that don't really work and that kind of thing. Our products work amazingly well. And the business opportunity that Mary and Gary have put together in our comp plan, I think, out outweighs any other comp plan. But I love the idea of the fact that, like, you don't have to have any kind of special education, right? Like any skill set. And someone that doesn't even have their high school diploma to someone that has a PhD has the same opportunity to get to the top. Someone that has, you know, we've got Royal Crowns that had like no internet, lived in a town that was, you know, below the welfare level of income and had a population of 100, and they figured out how to get to Royal Crown Diamond. So whether you live in a highly populated area or an isolated area, doesn't matter. You start at the same place. Doesn't matter if you have one friend or 1,000 friends on social media. The next person you meet might be your next rock star business person. So I love that, like, it's an equal playing field for anybody, no matter where they are. The fact that you can start the business with Young Living for such a really reasonable price, that there's not this, like, you have to, you know, invest thousands of dollars and have thousands of dollars worth of product in your home. Like, you can invest and it's not a huge investment. And that once you get people loving the product, you're going to have that residual income coming in. Like, I had no clue what residual income was, other than like, okay, Jennifer Aniston's going to get residual income because Friends is going to be playing on TV on 500 different stations. So she gets money from that. I didn't realize that network marketing had that same thing. So once I realized that like, you do the work once, you build the relationship, you get people to love the product, they get on ER, and you keep doing that cycle, there's going to be this foundation of income that's constantly going to be there. And you get other people to do that. I mean, that's a winning combination in my brain. So I just had to open my mind in terms of what network marketing really was, especially with Young Living. To really understand what it was. And I had no clue before.
I think I wrote a book about that once.
You did. I wish I had read that earlier.
Well, everybody should read it in their first week.
Yeah.
Of being a member, right? Probably would change their trajectory quite a bit. Beautiful, Carol. Thank you so much. What a great story. Told you that was my last question, but I do have another quick one. Money, I mean, you're beyond money now. What's next for you? What does the next 4, 5, 6, 7 years look like for you and Young Living or life? What are you going to do? Who are you going to be?
I want to help as many of my team members get to diamond and above as possible. I think that I could, if I wanted to, I could just check out and be a cash, you know, check casher. But I know that this is something that's doable for anybody. So I not only want to help my own personally enrolled and my leaders, but I want to help the people that are just starting as stars. Like, I continue to invest in creating resources for our team. And I plan to do that for, I mean, I don't see an end to that. I want to keep creating, not just for our team, but for anybody within Young Living, to share ideas and help anyone on Team Young Living grow their business and be successful. Because the more of us that can be successful, the more that we're going to show people what real network marketing is and what an authentic business plan and an authentic, genuine company really is.
Beautiful. That's a great vision. And people that are on your team are really fortunate that phase two for you is to be the wind beneath their wings that lifts them up to wherever they want to go. Carol, beautiful interview. Thank you so much. I appreciate you investing the time and sharing with everybody. And the rest of you, study these stories, right? Imagine that you listen to every Road to Diamond interview over and over and over again. Imagine if you listened to one every morning before you launched out to do your thing in the world. I know you'll do things differently if you have this bedrock of belief in these stories to lift you up and inspire you and ground you in who you can be and what's possible for you too. So thank you all. And until next time, next week, another Road to Diamond interview. Thank you, Carol. I can't wait to meet you. What a great story.
Thanks.
Super inspirational.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I enjoyed being able to share.
Beautiful. Hey, everybody. Thanks a lot. See you next week.
Thanks for listening. I trust you got some golden nuggets. If you're inspired sufficiently, I invite you to join me for Run Through Rank. Run Through Rank is a coaching program designed to have you blow through your next rank with never having to worry about requalifying. We come together twice a week for an hour for 60 days. You'll end up with 16 to 20 hours of custom video content you can study forever. This could be the best investment you ever make. Check it out at runthroughrank.com. That's runthruRank.com. We'll see you there.